Okay, so good morning, family, again. And what I'm hoping to do today is finalize or bring to a conclusion this series. You know, I usually want to end a series and it usually goes on two or three more weeks, but I want to bring this home because it's very important, but I want to go back because new faces and just establish a couple of things. The title of this message is Afraid to Be Afraid. And God began to deal with me about the fear of his people and the decisions they made out of fear, and the consequences that came to them as a result of their fear. But then he began to walk me through scriptures of the blessings of not fearing, and the opposite of fear is trust, to walk in trust and in faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God was one scripture we dealt with during the series. And that stuck out to me and hit me very hard because he said it's impossible to please God without faith. And if something's impossible to do, then it's just not going to happen. So I realized how important walking in faith was to him, or faith in him. And I want to be very clear when I make a distinction between walking in faith and what the church has done with it versus what really faith is. So let me establish that quickly. There was a season and time that went on, and it's the truth to it, but you got to keep things in this correct order where people are like, you can have anything you want, just claim it in faith. So people just went out, and I'm claiming new cars and new house and new this, and it all became about material. It was no longer about walking with God. It was about what you could get God to do for you. And I'm totally opposed to that concept as thinking God's some kind of genie that you just pull a switch and he got to just jump in and give you whatever you say because you clicked your heels three times and magically blessings shall appear. I believe in his word, and I believe that we can have faith in God, not faith in our faith. And that's where I lay the balance. Having faith in your faith for the sake of having faith in your faith is not believing God. I don't want to have faith in my faith because the word says, let God be true and every man a liar. So I don't want to trust in myself, and I don't want to trust in my feelings, and I don't want to trust even how strong I feel about something emotionally. That doesn't make it truth. And having faith in something that's not truth, and definitely not God's truth for you in your life at this season, is a dangerous place to be. Do you understand what I'm saying, people? We want to have faith, and you can nod your head, you can give me a thumbs up, I can see you. So this is the key to victory is me being in the perfect will of God, not trying to get God in my perfect will. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. And I spent a lot of my life trying to figure out how I could work God into my system or manipulate God. Or sometimes we might not even look at it this way, but we're going to try to use scriptures to guilt God into doing something. It's not going to happen. It's not going to work. The end result of that is not going to be good for us. It never has been and never will be. As I've been studying the scripture, well, first let me go back to the foundation of this message, and then we'll jump forward. When I started this message, I laid out a few things. And one point I made out was God had me look up how many times the phrase fear not was in the Bible. And I looked it up, and it was 365 times. And we made note, one time for every day, God said fear not. And I looked up the actions of fear. Fear causes us to doubt God. And it causes us to not just doubt God. And we say, well, you know, I doubted God. I'm sorry. No, it's more than that. It's we begin to question his promises and begin to believe that they're not true. Now, I've gone through the book of Kings, and it's been very painful for me to walk through this book. Because I've read it in the past, but in the light of this, it hit me. And here's what hit me. You had this king, David. The Bible says he served God with all his heart. Then he turned it on to Solomon. And Solomon was the wisest man there was. But then as I read through the book, I come to the realization that Solomon was the wisest man, but he was also the biggest idiot that ever existed. Because when you get to the end of the book, God told him not to marry the outside of the nation and not to marry women with foreign gods because he would worship them. Solomon pretty much ended his life as a pagan. He ended his life building temples to foreign gods and serving these foreign gods and worshiping them with his wives. Crazy. And then I watched the lineage of all the children and how his son and his son and this one didn't serve God and none of them served gods and they all were pagans. And then Asa comes along and he serves God. And then the next 10, 15 don't serve God. And how many didn't serve God versus the few who did was heartbreaking to me. Still is. Why would you deny the God who brought you out or make something fake and say, this is what brought me out. These calves, these golden calves brought us out. And God began to show me that's all based in the fear or the lack of belief that God was a provider. It always seemed to happen when God didn't move as fast as they thought he should. I'm laying a foundation here. I want us to understand as I go forward in this message that I'm learning that the biggest defeats in our life come from when we feel that things are not moving fast enough and we begin to second guess God and try to help him. And you may not call that fear and you may not call that doubt, but it absolutely is. And that's how the enemy is subtle. He won't come right in and horns and rah, you know, and he broke in my car and, you know, my finances. The devil don't care about your finances. He don't care about your car. So that you can spend all your life praying about your job and your finances. But are you listening to me? If you pay attention to this, you really get a good foothold on what goes on around you. The devil don't care about your stuff. He don't care about your health. He don't care if you're sick or if you're well. It means nothing to him. He has one desire and one desire only, and that's to take your testimony from you. To make you question if what God says he is, and what God says he'll do, he'll do. Think about every trial and everything you've been through. What's the first thing that comes under attack? Is God's ability to protect you or deliver you or provide for you or heal you? Well, he did it before, but he may not do it this time. Yeah, I know that's, but this is different than that. This is bigger. And it's always a thing to make you question your standard, or your faith, your belief, your foundation. So I'm saying to you today, as I go forward, before I get into the scripture, if there's anything confronting you right now that's making you substitute God for a golden calf, stop quickly and tear it down. If there's anything that you feel has to fill the place of God in your life, stop quickly and tear it down. It's a deception, and the end of it is always destruction. Can I get a witness or an amen or a thumbs up or something from somebody? You understand what I'm saying today? It's very important. So I've been looking at my life and the things that God has put before me and promised that has been kept from me for decades. Decades. Somebody say decades. Not months, not weeks, not years, but decades. And I've been looking at Daddy saying, okay, how do I finally arrive in these places that you have spoken over me? How do I begin to really see the greatness that I know you've called me to in my life? And the first thing God's beginning to show me is, go back to what I said. You listening to me? Go back to everything I've ever spoken over you. Are you listening to me? And ask yourself how you really feel about it. Don't just say, amen, I received that. Don't do that. That's one of the ways we blow things off and not address them. Go before God and say, God, how do I really feel about it? Do I really believe it? Do I believe it's possible but not sure? Do I have 100% faith, or does my faith need to be stronger in certain areas about this? Do I really believe that what you promised me is mine? That is going to be attacked by the enemy as long as you live. As long as you live. He's not going to take a holiday on that. He's going to always say, are you listening to me? What he said to Jesus in the garden, what he said to Adam in the garden. Has God really said? Has God really said? Okay, well, so then why don't you just do this then? Well, so then how come you can't pay your bills right now? If so, then how come such and such? He'll always try to put you in the place where you question the truth about God. And once he gets you on that slope, it's a small slip that if you don't check it, I'm just going to ignore it. I'm just going to keep going. No, you need to stop and shut it down. You need to stop and you need to get yourself alone and say, what do I really believe about this? Do I believe this to be the truth or do I believe it to be a lie? I rebuke you. No, stop and say I rebuke you, devil. Do that. But then stop and say, Lord, where is my spirit right now in this? Show me where I really am. Am I standing as solid as I think I am? Do I really believe in your deliverance like I think I do? Now, you're listening to me today? Self-evaluation is important. And we go through life in denial, especially church and Christian denial. We go through life in Christian denial. We figure, I got a scripture taped to my refrigerator. Yeah, but if it ain't planted in your heart, it's just a piece of paper on your refrigerator. It means nothing. It's not a magic charm, babies. It's not magic word. It's not clicking your heels three times saying there's no place like home. It doesn't work like that. It's not an incantation. That's witchcraft. Believing God is believing God, and you stay with God on the subject until there's no more question in your heart. And sometimes you got to stay there until your heart is changed. And sometimes God will force you to release things and let things go that you think is dear to you because that thing is blocking what God is doing with you. And he may return it and give it back, but sometimes you got things in front of God that keeps God from moving. And you've decided it's from God, but actually it's replaced God. And now you worship the creative thing over the creator. So it's very important. So walking in fear is detrimental. And I'm not going to go over all the scriptures we covered, but for those who are watching, we went to Exodus chapter 32, or the golden calf. Read that. Numbers chapter 13 and 14. You can read that. Then we went to Matthew 25, 14 to 30 about the talents, the parable of the talents, and the man who was afraid and he hid his talent. As a result, God took everything from him and threw him out. Last week we did Malachi chapter 3, verse 11. And this is the one that everybody uses to try to get money in the church. And it's about the offering. And it says how you should not. Well, let's go there. Let's go to Malachi 3. Let's pick that up. And let's cover from there. And then for Malachi 3, we're going to go to Psalms 91. So let's go to Malachi chapter 3 for now. And let's get that back on the plate. I'm going there with you, so give me a second. Last book of the Old Testament. And I think we started in 6. It was 6. Let me see, was it 6? Yeah, it was 6. And he goes on to it. He said, I, the Lord, do not change, so you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. So I took a couple of things from that I pointed out last week, and I want to touch on it again. He said, I, the Lord, do not change, so you, the descendant of Abraham, of Jacob, are not destroyed. Going through the Old Testament, and definitely going through the book of Kings, this took on a different meaning for me, because when Solomon turned pagan, God wanted to rip all of Israel. All 12 tribes were under one king at that point. God wanted to rip everything from his hands and let him die in his state. But God said, but because of my love for David, my covenant with David, I'm going to go ahead and respect Solomon enough that I'm going to rip every tribe from him except one. So at that point, Israel wanted with a king for every tribe, and then the kings began to fight against the kings. And I began to realize as I was studying that a lot of these people that I'm seeing there fighting in the Bible are not just outside Philistines. Some of them, at times, they're fighting each other and killing one another. because of Solomon's action. And I'm looking at this like, wow, all the kingdom were under one place, one king, and now they're separated. But God still said, because of my covenant, I won't wipe you out. And one after another turned against him. And he still kept saying, I acknowledge my covenant with David. And for that reason, I'm going to continue to protect you. And this is why this is powerful. Are you listening? Because he did that for generation upon generation. He still has a covenant with Israel because of David. But we have a covenant with Jesus, which is a more powerful covenant than David. Bible says more powerful than that of Abraham. Our covenant is directly with God's son. So understand something. You're covered with covenant. But please don't think that excuses you from all consequence, because it does not. We want to be wise. Whenever we covenant with the enemy comes to collect. And how do we covenant with the enemy? By walking in fear. By walking in fear, we begin to question God's covenant. We begin to believe that God is not going to cover us. And we begin to surrender ourselves to the covenant of one who is a liar. And there are consequences. But as soon as we repent, God restores us. And he puts us right back like we never made a mistake. And that's the beauty of covenant. And that's the beauty of our Savior Christ. Amen. So he's saying here, because I am a God that doesn't change, your descendants have never been destroyed. And he said the descendants of Jacob. He didn't say of David. And that's funny, because Jacob, who was the swindler, who became Israel, and all the mess that began to happen, you can see begin to happen in these points. So I won't go into all that. I'm not going to go into Bible history. Let's go on. So he said, return to me and I will return to you. So the next point I made was, so it's very clear here, there is a God turning away point. If he said, return to me, I return to you, that means if you go away, I go away. If you turn your back, I turn mine. And then we know God will never, he knows my heart. Listen, don't try to rewrite the scriptures the way you want to write them to make it work for you, because they're usually not working right now anyway. He said, return to me and I will return to you. So there's a place where God says, I need you in agreement with me. And I need you to understand to return to me and I'll return to you. You listening to me? Can two walk together except they be agreed? That includes you and God. You can't walk with God unless you're in agreement with God. So he's saying, if you turn from me, then I'll turn from you. But if you return to me, I return to you. Now take this and be grateful for this. Falling and sinning is not turning from him. Those are weaknesses that God can correct if you repent. Turning away is literally replacing him with something else, whatever that is. Amen? You understand? You good? Good. Let's move on. So he says, return to me and I'll return to you. That spoke to me. Then he goes on and said, but how, you ask, how shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how am I robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Now, again, this is about tithes and offerings. It's about giving and all of that. But this is not the point I'm using this to make today. I'm not talking about giving. I'm not talking about offerings. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about principle. I'm talking about the principle of turning away and distrusting God and putting your trust in somewhere else. In this case, they were stealing the money from God because they felt God couldn't meet their needs all of a sudden. So they needed to trust in whatever their income was. And they started stealing the offering and the tithe. And they stopped giving to God. And God said, you're robbing me. You're stealing from me. So I said, well, God, this is something that interested me, because I looked at this in a way that I never saw before this week. You're going to like this. I wish we had church service, because I could hear all the oohs and ahs, because this is one of them ooh and ah things, because, you know, I'm good like that. Listen, he said, you are robbing me by not giving tithes and offerings. And I said, God, How does a man rob you when you don't need money? That's for the church. I got it. And that's for to get the word out. I got it. I understand that. But you said you're robbing me. How are you robbing me? So watch this. Let's go forward. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and test me or prove me in this. When scripture says you shouldn't test God, he said, but here you can prove me in this, says the Lord Almighty, that I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour you out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to receive it. Wow, it hit me. You're robbing me of the opportunity to bless you. You got that? I see the, how are you robbing God? God don't need your little stinking money. You're robbing me of the opportunity of pouring you out a blessing that you can't receive. You're robbing me of the opportunity of doing something for you that I want to do to show the nations that I am God. You are robbing me of the opportunity to flood you so full with me that you never have to look to your boss, your job, or nothing ever again. I'm your provision. He said, you're robbing me of the opportunity of pouring you out a blessing that you don't have room to receive. Doesn't he take pleasure in the prosperity of his servants? Don't the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro, seeking whom he may show himself strong upon? You robbing me of it. And you're cursed under a curse. Everything is going wrong because you've taken the opportunity from me to be your provision. If that was good, give me a thumbs up or something. If your pastor's dope, give me another thumbs up. God is good. And when he shows me this stuff, I ask questions. And I needed to know, God, how are they robbing you? So he said, right, he will pour you out a blessing, open up the floodgates of heaven, which I can't even imagine what that must be like. And pour you out so much blessing that you don't have enough room to store it. I'm on a path to that. I really am, and I want to see it on some other levels. But then he said this. Are you listening? And I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and vines in the field will not drop before they're ripe, says the Lord of hosts. So God said, watch this now. If you trust me, I will pour you out blessings that you will not have room to receive. And I will rebuke the devil for you. You remember how I rebuke you, I bind Satan off of this, and I bind Satan off, and I'm like, you don't have to. Bring your tithes and offers in. He said, trust me in your provision area. And I will rebuke the devil, say he can't even touch your stuff. Now I'm gonna tell you, that was really interesting because I was listening to my wife speak earlier, and she was talking about no matter what you're going through, there's in the word for it, no matter, and she kept saying, no matter what you're going through, and I'm sitting there saying, why is she saying that? And then I started thinking that's relative to where the person is at the moment, right? I ain't going through. I don't know what, to me, that's such a rare occurrence. I don't like the church believing that going through is your state and your constant state and the state that you're supposed to always be in, and God always has to be Batman or something to come in at just before they kill you and rescue you at the last second and fly you away. I just don't believe, I don't serve that God. My God has taught me through wisdom to be redeemed from the curse of the law and to walk free. And the going through thing is something that sometimes we go through because we go through. But my word doesn't say I'm a goer through-er. It says I'm an overcomer. And so I overcome it. I don't go through it. And I don't expect to go through. And when I find myself going through, I ask God, why am I going through this? And he said, because you're going through it. Because you are going through it. Because you have either made or not made a choice somewhere that makes you go through. And even in it, he's with you. And he works all things together for the good. But unless my Bible's wrong, he says, surely goodness and mercy should follow me all the days of my life. He said, blessed going in, blessed coming out, blessed in the field, blessed in the city. He didn't say blessed sometime, a little over here, a smidge there. You know, you got to go to hell. You know how life is. He's promised me in Deuteronomy 28 that if I obey this law and I stay true to his word, that all these blessings will come upon me and overtake me. So I expect that. I don't know what you expect, and I ain't mad at you, whatever you expect, but I will say this to you and all the new folk on here. Whatever you don't expect, I ask God to ship it in my direction, because I can make some room for it, because I'll take it. I don't believe that God wants everybody wealthy, but good, then God can send yours straight to me, because he definitely wants me that way, and he's been making sure that that's been the case for over 25 years. I ain't never known it to be any different since then. So that, but that's just me. But he says he rebukes the devourer for you. So there's a place that you could come to. Listen to this. I'm gonna set my Bible down a minute. You ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? So here's a place that I can come to. Say that. There's a place that I can come to that I'm always blessed, and that troubles are rare, and that the devil is rebuked for me. Now, he just said that. See, you better listen to me right here. Why do you think the devil fight the tithe so hard? Why do you think the devil mess with your finances so much to make you fear that? Because he knows right there, he said, if you bring that in, again, this ain't about a tithe message. This is about God's provision. I don't care if you tithe or not. That's your issue. I'm going to do it because it's working. He said, if you trust me in the area of your finances, that's what he's saying. Just trust me. Don't trust the world. Trust me. I will make sure you have more than enough, and I will rebuke the devil every time he comes at you for your sake. Your harvest won't rot. Is that a good word for somebody? Is that a good word for somebody? That's a promise. It's right there. You seen it in your Bible? I didn't take anybody's Bible and write nothing in, right? It's there, but we overlook it. And when preachers take that and they just use it to try to make you give an offering, it's shameful, it's disgusting, because it's not about trying to get you to give an offering. It's God trying to show you his provision. His provision is always, don't fear, trust me. Somebody say, don't fear, trust God. Don't fear, trust God. Look at your neighbor and say, don't fear, trust God. You understand what I'm saying? This is our legacy. Did you hear what I just said? This is our legacy. This is our inheritance. This is what belongs to us as the children of God. We are not walking around in darkness, stumbling to and fro, trying to figure out who we are. His word says who we are. And once we accept it, it manifests. And let me just say this to you, something God showed me this course of this week. He said, you notice that you have to pray less for things now than you did before, and that you're automatically provided for even without prayer. And I said, yeah, I noticed that. He said, because my provision is standard. In the past, you did all this praying, trying to overcome your fear that I wouldn't provide. So you get on your face and you go through all this stuff to try to get me to move because you don't think I already am. So you're praying in fear about faith. You're praying faith things in fear. He said, but you get to a place that you relax and you just trust me. Behold the birds of the air. They toil not, neither do they spin, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better? Birds don't wake up in the morning and say, if I don't get to work by such time, I'm going to lose my job. They get up and they just, I don't even know how they know which direction to go, but they know they're going to go get their food and they're going to come back. God's a good God and he's a powerful provider. And what I'm learning even now is that the less I focus on it, the easier it comes. The less I worry about it. I don't even want to say the less I worry about it. I don't worry about stuff anymore. I just don't. I catch myself quickly and go, yeah, that ain't going to give me nothing. I already know what's going to come from that. Just more worry. I know what's going to come from me being afraid. Just more fear. I'm not going to do it. So let's move on now. Did you get what you needed from that? Did you get what you needed from that? Did you learn something? If you learned something, just give me a thumbs up or something. Good. Now, let's move on to Psalms 91, which is the next scripture I want to cover. I want to look at that. I don't think I'm going to finish, but I'm going to this week, but I'm going to just get this in, and then we're going to go on. You being blessed, I'm hoping today. I'm being blessed teaching you. It was really weird doing this this thing online in the beginning, but I've gotten used to it. Again, preparation for the future, what I'm called to. Let me know when you're there. Ready? Reading from the NIV, it says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall rest under the shadow of the Almighty. King James said, he who dwells in the secret place, says whoever dwells, will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my fortress, my refuge, my God in whom I will trust. This whole message is about trusting God. Afraid to be afraid. This whole message is about trusting God. But let's go back. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall rest under the shadow of the Almighty. So, you know me. I take one word and I'm going with it. El Shaddai. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. This statement is important. Are you listening? Are you listening? Are you listening? He who dwells. You cannot visit the place of the Most High. And that's what a lot of church stuff had taught me over the years. I go out there, I do the best I can, I wing it. And then when I need God, I call God, break glass in case of emergency. He's the fire escape. He's the way when there's no way. Listen, that's visiting God in times of trouble. This says he who dwells. How many of you understand what it is to dwell? Dwell is where you live. It's not where you visit. It's where you live. This is where I live. If I live in that secret place, live there, not when I need it, but all the time, then I can rest under his shadow. Well, of course, I live with him. As long as my kids live with me, they're covered. They still kind of are, even when they don't. But my point is, they're covered. They're under the shadow of that protection. They didn't have to beg for food. They didn't have to wonder where they would sleep every night. They didn't have to wonder if certain even things that they just wanted that were luxuries or gifts were theirs because they dwell with me. If you dwell with God, you abide under his protection and he is your fortress. That means nobody's getting in. Again, all this rebuking the devil and always praying this and that to the devil, there's a place you can come to where you don't have to do all of that if you dwell with God. So wait a minute. So what happens? Well, when you come out of that dwelling, God showed me this a long time ago. He said, I'm your protection. He said, if you look at me like an umbrella, when the rain is coming down and it's pouring, you're dry. If you step out from under the umbrella and you get wet, don't say God made me wet. God didn't wet you. You stepped out from under the umbrella. But if you come back, he'll dry you right off. He'll pick up right from where you left off. Because he's a forgiving, loving God like that. And that's so awesome. So he said, if you dwell, you say of the Lord, he's my refuge, my fortress. In him I trust. Surely he will save you from the foul snare and from the deadly pestilence, or I'll insert the coronavirus. That's a deadly pestilence. I ain't get too many amen on that, but he protects me from corona. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find again refuge. Live there. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrows that fly by day. I ain't afraid of no cops, and I ain't afraid of none of that other stuff that they tell me I would be afraid of because I'm black. None of it. Nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the plagues that destroy at midday. Are you listening, saints? This is your promise. This is your covenant. If you're going without it, that's your choice. But here it is. 1,000 may fall at your right hand. They put the numbers up on the screen every day. And 10,000 at your right. But it might come near you if you don't be very careful. It says, it will not come near you. I know pastors and everything that's dying from it. Okay, let's go back. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. That's a spiritual place. I'm not making light of anybody's plight. What I'm saying is, I refuse to fear that thing. I refuse to live in fear. I don't run around diving in pools of everybody. Oh, everybody, I'm going to go walk through it just to see. No, I don't put the Lord through foolish tests. I refuse to do that. Scripture tells me not to. Jesus said it when Satan told him to cast himself down off the mountain. I'm not going to do foolish tests, but to live in fear is wrong still. If I'm somewhere and it's there and I don't know it, it ain't coming near me. This is the word. I'm reading it. It's right here. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. So you're saying everybody that's wicked? No. I ain't my place to make that call. Here's my plain thing. Wicked don't mean everybody's evil, but wicked does mean twisted. And that's where the word comes from, Wicca. So if your belief is twisted, if you semi-trust God and semi-trust everything else, your belief is twisted, it's wicked, it's twisted. That don't mean you running around killing people and doing witchcraft. Anything that the enemy can do to get you to distrust God is wicked, it's twisted. Any way that he can get you to not rely on your Savior and build a golden calf as your protector is twisted, it's wicked. The word wicked, wicker, like wicker furniture comes from this word wicked. It's twisted. Anything that makes you question your faith to your Father is twisted. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. Do you understand? Church needs to rise up. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in some of your ways. All of your ways. So again, dwelling in the secret place, he commands his angels. This is too much. We're going to go over this some more next week. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you don't strike your foot against a stone. And this is important. You will tread on lions and on cobras. And you will trample the great lion and the serpent. But I'm going to stop here for this week, but I'm going to go back to this. So when Jesus was fasting, the devil came at him with this verse. He said, jump down off this mountain. For it is written, he will lift you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said, okay, here I go. I'm diving off. No, he didn't do that. He said, you don't put God to foolish tests. He knew if he fell accidentally or somebody tried to throw him, he would be protected. But he knew that you don't go diving out there. So I said, people, well, I'm a Christian. I ain't gonna wear no mask. Well, you better make sure you know what you believe. You better make sure that's where your faith is. But I don't think you should ever do anything like that, just daring situations. If you're there, God's with you. If you're unaware of it, God's protection. And I guarantee you, many of you sitting on this broadcast right now have been around somebody with it, have it all over them, and it didn't touch you, and you just didn't even know it. I guarantee you some of you have been protected already, especially you go out to the stores and stuff. You don't know who's there. They said people could have it and be asymptomatic and still pass it to you, and you don't know it. So you're walking around right now, every day, I'm promising you, you've been protected. I'm promising you right now, God has kept you. I promise you right now, it's trying to float around you, and them angels said, nope, they dwell in a secret place. You can't touch them. I promise you that. Something about that protection of God that you don't even know he's doing. I've been praying God to show me that more. Like, show me, God, those places you move in there. I just take it so ordinary that I don't even see it every day. Like, I woke up and I still could breathe. That's a beautiful place that you're there. That even when I'm sleeping, my breathing doesn't stop. You keep me. That there are things, those little things that you opened your eyes and you can see. You put your foot down on the floor and pressed up and your body rose. See, the little things like that we don't pay attention to until they stop working. Then you realize how phenomenal they are, don't you? Or the fact that you opened the refrigerator and something was there. I'm just saying. So let's look at this last time. If you say the Lord is my refuge, if I say, and say, so I'm saying it, the Lord is my refuge. He said, if you say the Lord is my refuge and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you. He will command his angels concerning you. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you don't strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra, and you will trample the great lion and the serpent. Satan comes as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You trample him. You don't even have to stop and rebuke him. You trample him in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you today for the opportunity to share your word with your people. And I pray that their hearts are filled, their spirits encouraged, that they're lifted up, and that they're just emboldened to just walk a little bit deeper and a little bit closer to you today. You are my refuge. You are our refuge. You are our keeper. You are our peace. You are our guide. You are our source. You are our healer. You are Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha. You are El Shaddai. You are the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You take care of us, and you charge the angels to look out for us as we walk with you. So I speak over everybody here and everybody to watch later. Father God, that you lift them up, lest they dash their foot against the stone. That you stop them right now from walking in any fear or anything that would keep them from the greatness of you and your love and your covering and your covenant. Say, I'm a covenant person, and my God keeps me. Say, I'm a covenant person, and my God keeps me. This is his promise to you, and you are kept. So I thank you for your ears. I thank you for your heart and your time. I love each and every one of you. And I pray that your week is blessed and that this word just rips into your heart and changes you from the inside out, step by step, day by day. Don't be discouraged if you're not there yet. Take the first step and just begin to walk it out. Amen. I love you all. And God bless. Pastor out.